Hey, welcome to Bride on Base. This is the final episode of the first season of Bride on Base. I'm Brianna Weldon. I have been your host for these last 12 episodes, and I'm taking you all the way home today with our personal development episode. I have enjoyed this process. I hope I've been able to reach at least one person and encourage you to do more and not to let what you see around you in the military community be what you expect of yourself. I want you to expect more and hope for more, because I know it's really easy to get down and really easy to kind of think, well, I'm not one of these women that, and then you stop striving for more because you've already achieved it. I think if you are listening to this podcast, you're probably someone who isn't at the bottom of the pile. So in that case, I'm talking to you today specifically because I want you to keep going. Yeah, this is a personal development podcast, and this is a personal development episode. So today I'm going to talk about my journey, my personal development, and hopefully you can take something away from that, and that can help you to shape your own journey. Before we get to that, please follow me on Instagram. I'm obviously still posting there. You'll find out if we're going to have a season two, and you can see exactly when this book launches. Yes, I wrote a book. It's called No Girlfriend Left Behind, A Partner's Guide to U.S. Army Basic Training. The point of the book is to provide support for the girlfriend. There's a lot of information out there for recruits, obviously, and you can find blog posts, things like that. But I wanted to put it all in one place, and it's got my husband's letters from when he was at basic. There's about four of them from throughout the whole process. And of course, I'm telling my own story. And I really hope that people find that helpful. That was also a part of my personal development for 2018. And let's go ahead and start that conversation. So, what is personal development? I think people think of personal development as like self-help, like it is a noun, but personal development is always happening to you. You're either developing into the person you want to be, or the person society, life, hormones, the president is shaping you into being. So the idea of the concept of personal development, with air quotes, is that you are identifying who you want to be and being intentional about becoming that person. Last year, I quit my job in July, and then I decided I wanted to stop playing games and start trying to live the life that I've always wanted to live. I was waiting for someone to come and tell me, hey, I have this perfect opportunity for you. I used to think about going viral for something and then being invited on Ellen. And on Ellen, I just tell her, like, I don't really want $10,000, but if there's anyone out there that wants to hire me, I would really love that. And then somebody powerful would see me and say, I just have to have her. And then that would start the rest of my life. That's probably not going to happen. And waiting for something like that to happen is just makes you feel powerless. And it's not going to help to just be waiting instead of creating. So that's what I did. I decided I was going to create. I quit my job and I began to work on the blog. Quickly realized I didn't really know what I was doing. And we are on day, I think this is day 463. I keep a journal, except I'm out of town right now, so I haven't written it in a few days to know what day of entrepreneurship this is. But I've been on this journey for a long time and I've changed a lot. And I know I noticed some things that have changed, just not things that I tried to change, but just as I dove into personal development, self-help, mindset, there is some things I learned, like, I don't ever want to say I'm trash. I wanted to say it for, I pulled two empty ice trays out of the freezer, and that's nobody's fault but mine. So I want to be like, I pulled two empty ice trays out, I'm trash. But I didn't say that because I don't want to say I'm trash, because I'm not trash. And saying stuff like that, being comfortable saying things like that, helps you to shape your life into being that. Now I don't act desperate for money. I never acted desperate, especially because I had a job at one point. But nothing is going to make me feel desperate or make me feel disadvantaged, because even if I don't have it now, I can still get it. I think there are infinite ways to make money. I'm on a journey of making money in the way that is that I'm meant to make money. And fortunately, I have the luxury of doing that. I think, especially thanks to the military giving me the cloak of being a military spouse to choose not to work under. That was actually an interesting transition for me, because the civilian people in our lives did not understand why I was quitting my job. Whereas the military people, like, nobody was working anyway. I was really grateful for being a military spouse and getting to go on this journey. The way it all started for me was when I was on maternity leave, I had 12 weeks paid. On week 8, the FMLA person from my job called and asked when I was coming back to work. I was like, why would I not come back at 12 weeks? And she said that I could take those. I wanted to take the time later. So then I had to start thinking about going back to work and who was going to take care of my child. So I guess in this, it was probably earlier than 8 weeks, who was going to take care of my child. And I realized I was going to have to pay someone to do something that I wanted to do so I could go do something I did not want to do. And at that point, I thought about how I envisioned myself as a freelance writer and blogger when I became a parent, so that I would be able to be at home and still have a career. And I realized that nobody was going to make that happen. I was going to have to make it happen. Mind you, the whole time I was pregnant, I was trying my best not to quit. No, I wasn't trying not to quit. The only reason I didn't quit was because I had paid maternity leave. So I already didn't want to be at the job. So I went on Pinterest and Pinterest and searched for work from home jobs. I became aware that I had options. The church I was going to did this series called Dreams Do Come True, from the book of Philippians, and the church is Man of Church. I'll link the sermon series in the notes. And I was like, wow, this is correlating with what I've been thinking about. I met someone on the way from church because they had shuttles. So I met this couple, interracial couple, like me and my husband, except for they're like 15 years older than us, and friended them on Facebook. The husband added us to this leadership group, and on one day he did some sort of video. I don't even know what the video was about, but it made me realize I should listen to something other than the murder podcast I was going to listen to. So I typed in entrepreneur. I found this podcast called Join Up Dots, and that's when I began to realize that ordinary people were doing extraordinary things. These weren't your Beyoncé's, why can I only think of Beyonce as being unusually talented? LeBron James's, Kobe's. It wasn't like prodigies or superstars. These are people who just decided that they were going to pursue something until it was complete. So that's when I realized that could be me. And here I am, still pursuing something until it's complete. So this year we got out of the Army. I was still focused on finding my path. I didn't really know what my vision was. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a vision until May, when I talked to my blog coach and then I got all these ideas for my blog, and then the podcast came out of that. And I had gotten the idea for an ebook earlier in the year. So I was thinking, okay, I'll rebrand the blog, I will launch a podcast, and I will do these ebooks. And the dates for these things happening kept getting pushed back and back and back. So I eventually was like, you know, I can't really keep waiting. So I'm just going to go ahead and launch the blog. So I did that. And the first post was getting started with your Instant Pot. The second post was Emily Sandell living in an RV. That took a lot of skill. It took me gaining skill to figure out how to write that. And I was proud of myself for doing that. And then I realized I couldn't wait for other people to participate in the podcast so that I could do the podcast. And I just decided to do it on my own. And it took learning a lot as well. And then the whole time I had been working on this book, I actually wrote it mainly in March or April, and I've rewritten it a few times and revised it a whole bunch and gotten feedback. And I really did the hard work over these last couple months, just pushing myself to do those things that I didn't want to do. And what it really came down to was writing something, creating something causes you to have to be vulnerable to other people criticizing it. You have to put it out there, and you have to just be vulnerable and accept another person's experience of it. So that was really hard to do. And I think I was afraid of that the whole time. I didn't want to put all this work into something and then it not be received for what it was to me. And that is everything I've done. I started the year by starting a Mary Kay business. I quickly learned that I had a self-image issue. I have a YouTube video about that. I have a YouTube channel too, which I started in November. I really enjoy YouTube, but it's so time consuming and I don't want to be a YouTube star. But I made a video about how hard it was for me to simply invite people to my party. And then the people who said they would come, it was very hard for me to ask them, like to remind them. So that was the first step of understanding that there was an issue with who I thought I was. And then with the podcast, it was hard to have people not want to participate or not follow through with what they said they were going to do. And it was also hard to learn a whole new thing and put it out there. And I realized I had to, instead of kind of waiting for a guest to co-sign what I want to do or co-sign my idea, I was just going to have to do it myself. I saw a post in a podcast Facebook group where this guy said, stop hiding behind having guests and just do a solo podcast. So that was another layer of me just validating myself and moving forward and not being so worried about what other people think. And then final is the book. And the book is even harder because I can delete these podcasts when I'm done. I can delete all of them and it will be like it never happened. I can delete my entire website. I can delete my entire YouTube channel. But I cannot unprint a book that someone has ordered in print or that someone has downloaded onto their Kindle. And I just have to be okay with who that person is, the person that wrote that, the person that comes through on those pages. If 2 years ago you told me you have to be something for the world to consume, I would have been okay with it because I was not into personal development. I remember, I think summer 2016 or 17, I was asking for podcast recommendations and I think I said, no self-help, please, because I was not into it. I felt like self-help was for weak people, weak-minded people that needed an identity. And I don't think I'm weak-minded now. I don't think of people seeking self-help as weak-minded. I think they're just people who want more. And I also understand that a big part of self-help, why people who are into self-help may seem woo-woo or kind of like they're brainwashed, is you kind of have to trick yourself into believing better than you have been believing, especially if you've had false beliefs or harmful beliefs, bad programming for decades. It takes a lot of mental jujitsu, as they say, to overcome that and to reclaim a healthy mindset. So I get it. And it's funny that we judge people so much when we're not in the self-help or when we're not on the same path, because we're usually coming from a place of less fulfillment. For instance, Mary Kay. The reason I had such a huge problem with Mary Kay is because I always thought of Mary Kay people as, or any network marketing person, as kind of weak. Like, you can't even come up with your own business, or you don't even believe this, but you're letting these people tell you, brainwash. I just basically thought they were brainwashed and weak-minded. But once I got on my journey, I understood that you have to really switch. You have to go into a different place where it's not about other people. It's not about what they think of you. It's about pushing yourself forward and accomplishing your goals. And when it comes to your goals, it doesn't really matter what other people think, because they're not the ones who are enjoying the spoils of you reaching and conquering your goals. But when you're at a place where you aren't working toward anything, you aren't putting yourself out there in any way, it's so easy not to see the value in it. I mean, I'm still self-conscious, I'm still insecure, but I'm at a place where if someone were to criticize me for going after a different type of life, a better life, a more free life, I would just recognize that they don't want more life, and that's okay. Like, they're the ones who are at a deficit. I'm pursuing my goals. I'm pursuing my dream. It's also like one time I had gotten on this kick and I was getting up early and working out, and one of my friends said, well, don't try to do it too much because you might fail. And I'm like, first of all, you're overweight, so I probably shouldn't take cues from you because you haven't overcome this place that I am at and that you are obviously at. And secondly, why should I plan on failing? I should plan on succeeding. If I'm gonna plan on either one of them, plan on succeeding. Personal development is planning on succeeding. It's being intentional about what is being fed to you, what you are consuming, what you're saying to yourself. I think it's important for the military community because we have, in some ways, very low standards. There are plenty of women who have careers, women who run their households, women who are healthy and thriving. But there are more women who only really exist as background music and who feel like that's all they need to be. There are so many women who have attitudes based on other people's experiences, other people's spouses mistreating them, or other people's spouses getting their spouses in trouble, or how hard the military is. They have such low expectations for their lives and low standards that it's easy to be better than them. But I want you to be better than that. I want the bar to be raised. To be honest, when I think about military spouses, I have a negative connotation. Even though I was a military spouse, I don't feel like the military spouse I have in mind is somebody that I want to be. And I think that's a shame, because it's a real opportunity to explore and to be more, because we have it's not even luxury, but we are usually in a situation where we have benefits if we don't work. You at least have a house, you at least have health care. You have the bare necessities, and a lot of us have to be home anyway. It's a great opportunity to explore what our path really is. So this whole season, I've been trying to get the listeners to think outside of the box of each of the categories we talked about. So the first one was your career. So I wanted you to think outside of the box of success just being based on where you end up in your career or what kind of education you get, and more about what is best for you. What kind of job can you create? What makes you happy? What's another way you can achieve those ideals you had, the essence of it, without it being a traditional job? We talked about making friends, which wasn't really a think outside the box thing. I guess in that sense, we have to be better friends in order to have better friends. And the standards are very low when it comes to friendship. We have to be better friends and have higher standards. If someone, as a military spouse, if someone were to blow me off, I would be like, well, that's a military spouse. And then a lot of girls would still, or make a lunch date with that person later. But we need to have higher standards and hold each other accountable. We talked about finances. I think people do a lot of irresponsible stuff. And I think it's often because there is no standard, really. I think people are preying, or establishments are preying, on military families, especially privates, young single men, and those habits grow up with them as they get married and have families. So I want you to think outside of the box, think outside of the standards that have been set out for you as a military family, and do better. We also talked about marriage. Marriage is, it's hard in the military because there are so many things impacting us, and we are made to feel uncomfortable, discomfort in our lives in general, that it puts more strain on us than I think any other group of people. So instead of it being the norm to A, be miserable, B, give up and get divorced, or what would C be? C, cheat. I just hope that we can find another way to get through it, to come together, to look at it, to persevere. We persevere a lot in terms of the lifestyle, but maybe a perseverance of the heart and spirit in our marriage is what we really need. And so today we're coming full circle and talking about personal development and how we can step outside of this box. Is, instead of being women who are just like every other woman, how about we decide what kind of women we want to be and go after that person? What does it take step by step to create her? How can we be more? How can we overcome the obstacles of the military, the obstacles of isolation, joblessness, underemployment, single parenting-ish, harmful work environments for our spouses? How can we overcome these obstacles and rise above them as opposed to being a product of them? That's what I want you guys to think about today. And, you know, the future, obviously, today's done. And this is the end of the podcast. If you've heard more than 5 Bible verses, Jeremiah 29:11 is one of them. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That means I don't want you to lose your life to the military. I don't want you to lose your life to being a mom. I don't want you to lose your life to a harmful, destructive, dysfunctional marriage. I don't want you to lose your life to bad credit. I don't want you to lose your life to being isolated. I want you to have hope, and I want you to have a future. The last thing I'll say about personal development is, lately I've been working on affirmations, and I started with a list of things that I needed to work on. I didn't want to say I don't do these things. I just wanted to say positive things. So one of the issues I have is overeating. It's kind of like, it's some weird eating disorder. It's like sometimes I just get so, it becomes so compulsive to eat, and it's based on some sort of belief that there's not enough. I haven't quite figured it out. It's going to take a little bit more meditation. But in response, my meditation is I stop eating when I'm satisfied. More food is available when I need it. So I say that in the morning when I'm on my morning routine game. I say that in the morning three times. And then sometimes when I'm in the moment, that's what comes to me. I stop eating when I'm satisfied. More food is available when I need it. And it's kind of a comfort. And that's really honestly the same function that scripture can play in our lives. And it's written by someone, I should say, because is there a body to God who has more wisdom than we do? Nonetheless, what I did was I think there's like 12. I recorded them and I left a space for me to say each one twice. And so now I can just listen. I don't have to have my notebook. And I look at myself in the mirror and say it so I can remain engaged. And I really think that reminding myself of who I want to be is helping me to be that person. I encourage you to do the same. I most strongly encourage you to decide who you want to be and figure out piece by piece how to become that person. For our final weekly rundown, we're going to go straight into the recommendations. This week I've been watching Atypical on Netflix. It's about a family with a son who's autistic and the challenges they face with that, but mainly in their lives. Really interesting show. It's helped me to understand more about autism and also just, you know, it's a unique family situation with what's going on with them individually. I found a new podcast called Lexicon Valley. I am kind of a wordsmith, if you haven't noticed. I do try to, almost said mitigate. I do try to moderate the words I use because language people can't understand isn't good language. So I don't want to be that. But anyway, it's giving you the history of words. And the one I listened to was Let's Do Lunch, and it showed like how lunch went from meaning like a hunk of meat to the middle meal of the day. For a book, I want to recommend to you Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. I actually didn't finish this book, but this is a great book for this topic. The part that I have consumed, which is most of it, was impactful for me. This is a discussion or an analysis of how your brain can work to resolve your issues and to give you the answers you need. So again, we are often looking for someone to come rescue us, but we are capable of solving our problems. So this book talks a lot about why it's important to set goals, why it's important to visualize, and how thinking about something and just taking time to process can help you to figure out whatever it is you need to figure out. So when you set a goal and you fix your mind on it, your mind goes to work to order yourself so that you meet that goal or so that you achieve that goal. And I just think that's really important because we feel lost a lot, but the answers are there. And I got some answers today as I was driving to Austin, Texas, which is where I am now. I got some answers. I wasn't doing any research. I wasn't talking to anyone, but my mind was still working even as I was staying within my lane. Now for the recipe, it will be on Instagram. The last recipe, I failed to mention the sliced beef. That's a recipe I've made a dozen times, but I didn't put it on the blog. I didn't put it on Instagram because when I tried to make it, it was flavorless. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was because I used to use that commissary meat, but I just didn't get a good run, so I didn't put it on there. But anyway, Rice Krispies. You know you can make Rice Krispies in the Instant Pot. It's very efficient because it's easy cleanup. Melt your 3 tablespoons of butter and then turn the heat off. Okay, so you can do all this in the microwave, which is super easy. I think the Instant Pot is easier to clean, so I like using it. But the Instant Pot will burn, it will like caramelize your marshmallows. So you have to turn the heat off when you're done with these steps. So melt the butter, add your 6 cups of marshmallows and toss them in the butter. Make sure they're well coated. And then heat the marshmallows until they're almost melted. Then go ahead and turn the heat off again. Stir that. Add the peanut butter after the marshmallows are melted and the heat is off. That's where I went wrong. I allowed my mixture to caramelize and my Rice Krispies were hard as rock. They were still good, but they're really hard. So just be mindful. And that's half a cup of peanut butter. I don't think I mentioned these are peanut butter Rice Krispies. So obviously you can leave that out. And then 6 cups of cereal, adding cereal little by little. I like a little bit more cereal than marshmallow. I like there to be a drier look instead of that really coated look. I just think those are too sweet. And then with this amount, you can use a 9x13 pan, which you have already greased somehow, even though I didn't tell you to, and just pour the Rice Krispie mix in there and gently pat it down. I don't pack it down. I just pat it. And I really like the way that comes out. For a job opportunity, this is to expand your mind. Did you know you could work as a proofreader and make really decent money? You can work as a proofreader and proofread on an iPad. That's your work equipment. One of the people I came across in the beginning of my journey as a journey to my dream was Caitlin Pyle. I had found proofreading as a job when I did that initial working from home search. Found her on YouTube, and then when I looked for entrepreneurs, she came up again. I was like, what does this mean? Like, what am I supposed to be taking from this? I didn't do any of her courses because that's not what I wanted to do at that time. I wanted to create my own path. But she has a great course. You can go to proofreadanywhere.com to take it or do it. And you can take that course and start working as a proofreader. I really believe in Caitlin. I think she's a good person. I think her products are good. I haven't used them, but I would trust her. I mean, she's talking, you can do this when your kids are playing at the park. You don't have to be anywhere particular. It just really seems like a good career option for someone who doesn't want to have a boss, but also doesn't necessarily want to go rogue and try to create a whole brand. This is a great option. All right. So again, you can follow me on Instagram at Bright on Base. You can purchase my book, No Girlfriend Left Behind, A Partner's Guide to U.S. Army Basic. You guys won't purchase that. As I said, I'm like, I'm talking to people who are way past this. You can tell your friend whose new little boyfriend is going to the Army to get that book. And hopefully it helps her out. If you want to help me out, you can download it and rate it. just point somebody to it that needs it. I wrote it for the sake of the common good, not to get rich, definitely not to get rich. It's available on ebook as well. It's on Amazon. So once it's actually out, there will be a link here. And again, you can find it on Instagram. So my final advice is that you're on a journey, you're in a process of transformation. There will be seasons, there will be phases, and there will be chapters. If your life is a book, the story is building, you're the protagonist, there has to be conflict. There has to be periods of action, periods of steadiness, but the story always needs to move forward. Where is your story headed? Ponder that and take it easy. I will see you when I see you. I don't know if it'll be a season 2. I don't know if it'll be Bright on Base the musical, but my thoughts are with you and I do wish you the best. Take care and take off.